Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum, and this morning it's my pleasure to have the president of Southern Connecticut State University, Joe Bertolino, right?
That's correct.
Bertolino, I pronounced it right. Well, my last name is Castillo, so, you know, they messed that up all the time. So, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful. So, let's get started. Where are you from?
I'm originally from New Jersey. I'm a South Jersey boy, born and raised right outside of Philadelphia.
Right, so a small town, right?
Small town called Glendora.
All right, tell us about growing up in Glendora.
lower middle class neighborhood, working class family.
Yeah.
Dad was a lineman for Bell Telephone, Ma
wow.
Bell as it was called.
Back in the day.
Mom was a nurse. I'm the product of 16 years of Catholic school. Just me and my sister, and essentially everyone in the family grew up in South Jersey. I wouldn't characterize it as anything particularly exciting, to be quite frank.
So, what were you interested in high school? I mean, you know, were you into education in terms of like getting good grades? First of all, were you focusing on your own education?
Like, I was a geek in high school.
Okay,
I was a complete nerd. just to put this in perspective, my grandfather was an accordion player. And my father was a trumpet player, so he had his own band, mostly weekend weddings and stuff. And so I grew up learning to play the accordion, and my claim to fame, or my secret, is that I am the 1984 New Jersey State Accordion Champion.
Wow, okay. You got a trophy and everything?
I got a trophy and everything. Wow, real proud of that.
That's great, man. That's good, though.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I was a debate speech guy growing up in high school. Not an athlete. And you know, for the most part, it was pretty low key, pretty quiet. I was a relatively good student, but I wasn't a great student. And I would say that my parents, education wasn't an option. That neither of my parents had gone to college; they were high school grads. My mother had gone to nursing school, but at that time, you could go to nursing school without getting a bachelor's degree. When I was in high school, she went back to college to get her bachelor's degree. So we would be up at the same time.
So you saw her going through that?
I saw her going through that.
Right.
She was one of six children. Her mother was a widow at age 34. She was the only girl. And so there was a work ethic instilled in her. But my parents, three things that were important to them in priority order: faith, family, and education. And so for my sister and I, that's what was instilled in us. And interestingly enough, I became an educator, and my sister is an educator working with pre-K, K special ed.
Wow. Okay. So you graduate, and what do you do? Where do you go?
I went to the University of Scranton, which is a small Jesuit school in northeast Pennsylvania. I had no interest in going to the University of Scranton. I was going to go to LaSalle University in Philadelphia because that's where everyone from my high school went. But my mother, God bless her, turned around one day and said, "The boy down the street is going to this wonderful Jesuit school, and I want you to apply." And I said no. And one day my father walked into my bedroom and said, "Listen to me very carefully. You're going to apply to the University of Scranton. And if you get accepted, you're going to go visit. I don't need you to go to the University of Scranton. I just need you to apply and visit because your mother is driving me crazy." So I applied. I got accepted. We went to visit. And on the drive home, I leaned up from the back seat and said, I think this is where I want to go. And my mother was delighted. My father was perplexed.
Yes.
And it wound up being a great experience. Fast forward 30 years later, at my 25th class reunion from the University of Scranton, I am presented with the Distinguished Alumni Award in Education.
Isn't that awesome?
And I had my mother sitting in the front row.
She was there. Great.
And I told this story that I just told you, and I said, Mom, after 30 years, I finally get to say this to you. You were right. And it was fabulous. So it was a great experience. It really was.
I want Castillo, this is the electric drummer. We're speaking with Joe Bertolino. He's president of Southern Connecticut State University. And we're talking about his life. We're at the point where he ended up at Scranton University, even though he wasn't supposed to go there. But his mom guided him. And if you just got here, you know, you're up to speed. So you graduate. Now, while you were in college, were you thinking about going into education?
No, I was a psychology major.
Okay.
And I actually wound up in the seminary for a short period of time.
Okay.
So I think that I had toyed with the idea of the priesthood.
Yes.
For 18 months, while I was at the University of Scranton, I was also in seminary. And decided that that wasn't for me, and then realized, oh my gosh, I'm graduating. I have no clue what I'm going to do. And so a priest friend of mine gave me a job at a small high school in South Jersey, St. James High School in Carneys Point, right by Delaware. And he said, I'll hire you as a religion teacher. You need a job. I need a religion teacher. I had no clue what I was doing. But I went. It was a school of 300 kids. And
you got the bug?
I loved it. But what I loved more than teaching was the work that I felt I was doing in the cafeteria and out on the fields and just in the conversations and kind of the counseling I was doing.
Yeah.
So someone had said to me, you know, you might want to think about being a guidance counselor. And so I decided to go back to graduate school to get my master's in social work. So I had to leave my teaching job to do that because I went to school full time. And while I was in graduate school, I needed a graduate assistantship. Well, I wound up with a graduate assistantship in student affairs, in residential life. And the director of residential life at the university at that time pulled me aside a few months in and said, I know you're getting ready to finish up your MSW. I know you have a job back at the high school, but I think you should consider a career in higher education. Mm. And I said, I don't understand. He goes, I think you would be great at this. You could be a professional hall director. And of course, I laughed and said, let me see if I understand this. Someone's going to pay me more than I'm making now to live in an apartment in a dorm and take care of college students 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and do some counseling. And I get free food, a free place to live, and a bigger paycheck. Where do I sign up for that? So I wound up putting together my resume. He pointed me in the direction of a few places. I had four interviews at four universities, and that's when we used to mail things on paper.
Right.
And you used to go to your mailbox. Well, one day I went to my mailbox, and there are three letters from four of the places I interviewed, all rejection letters. And I took those letters, and I went to him. I was in tears. I was so angry. I quit my teaching job, and you told me that people would want me. And he took those letters, and he stuck them in a file folder. And he wrote out across with a Sharpie, stupid file. And he handed it back to me and he goes, and those are the people that were stupid enough not to hire you. I guarantee you, you will be a success in this field. 30 years later, that file is about this big. I'd like to point out that Southern Connecticut State University is actually in that file twice.
Really?
Wow. From years ago. And that began my journey to higher education.
Yeah.
And my career.
And as an administrator,
yeah,
I mean, obviously all of that experience, right, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. from your mom, right?
Yep.
because you got kids coming to your school.
Yeah.
Their parents got a lot of angst.
Yep.
They try to decide where to go.
Yep.
So you're drawing on all of that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how the Southern really works with that, right? Because that's a very difficult time in a family's life.
Well, I think for Southern, our focus is on relationships.
Yes.
And creating a welcoming and safe space for students to be part of a community. But more importantly, to know that, for them to know that it's not just the student that's becoming part of the community, but it's the family that's associated with that student that's becoming part of the community. So we're involving parents and family members at virtually every level, from the application process all the way through to orientation, parent orientation, opening day, a series of events throughout the academic year that keep parents and family members engaged. And throughout a student's entire career, there's so much communication, so much opportunity for parents and family members to interact with their students, but also to interact with the administration and the faculty members there, that I think folks just begin to feel comfortable with who we are. I mean, Southern is a working class institution. I think it's very important for people to remember who we are. We are the public university of the city of New Haven. We are the public university of the Southern Connecticut region. And that's important. The students that come to us are students that we're an opportunity, and in many cases might be their only opportunity, to get a four-year bachelor's degree and in some cases a master's degree. These are students who are working, many of them, 85% of our students are working. Most of them in full-time jobs, supporting families or contributing to the family. These are students that are getting their hands dirty. So I think our understanding that as a university and our supporting students through their education while they're dealing with life, I think sends a message to families that we care about them.
And it's interesting because there's been growth in the school, right? And in the process of that growth, you know, a lot of your departments are nationally recognized.
Yes.
The communications department, yep. A lot of the ESPN people, people in radio, mm-hmm. they have come through Southern, right?
Yep.
Very well known throughout the country. But you're growing, right? At one point, this was a very small school. Your mm-hmm. campus is growing, it's going out wider, mm-hmm. right? And so now there's different issues to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of those things that I know you're very big on is partnerships.
Yes.
With the community. Talk about that.
Well, I think the partnerships that I am most proud of at the moment are the partnerships that we're engaging in with Gateway and Housatonic.
Okay.
Community College. This is very exciting. Paul Brody and I have, who's the president of Gateway Housatonic, have become very good friends. And part of the goal there is to ensure that students can transition very easily from a two-year degree to a four-year degree. So both at Housatonic and at Gateway, Southern is actually kind of moving in. We are going to be establishing a physical space at both of those campuses with an office for advising, an office for support, an opportunity to provide students to transfer easily, but more importantly, particularly at Housatonic, I think we're going to move in a direction where we're going to offer classes at these locations so that students who have become comfortable with the community college setting that they're in can actually continue on with their education in the space that they're most comfortable with. And so, for example, the working mother who wouldn't be able to get here to New Haven to Southern, but is in Bridgeport, and has a schedule, a work schedule that allows him or her to go to Housatonic, can stay there, and right after they get their associate's degree, roll right into a bachelor's degree from Southern Connecticut State University on the campus proper. That's a partnership that we're thrilled about, that we're very excited about. I think in addition to that, we're really looking to partner with anyone who's interested in partnering with us. We've partnered with the Regional Water Authority, with Larry Bingaman over there. It's interesting. He is on our advisory board for our School of Business, and he had asked us some time ago if we could help him in the training of future managers. That essentially the management and the leadership is aging out. And so he said it would be great if Southern could offer a degree in utilities management. So we're going to offer a degree in utilities management. It's one of the few in the country.
And that's great.
That's a great example of a partnership.
Yeah. And because my next question, you know, very related to that is that today it's about jobs, right?
Yep.
And, you know, some folks are interested in going to a university that's going to prepare them to get a good job.
That's right. Right? That's right.
And some of the older folks are all about that, right? You know, what are you doing in regard to that? I mean, you know, preparing folks for that.
I think that you prepare students in two ways. First, you prepare them for a job and employment opportunities right out of college, but also you prepare them to learn. They're learning how to learn for the jobs that don't exist yet, but will exist a decade from now. I mean, let's be honest. We're training people for jobs that don't exist. If you think about, you know, 13 years ago, Facebook didn't exist.
That's right.
No one was running around with an iPhone.
And no one was talking about code.
So much has changed in the last decade. A whole cadre of new employment opportunities presented themselves. And so students need to understand how to learn. And the skill sets are the same. That if you ask any employer, what do they want? They want someone who knows how to form relationships, who can communicate, who can write, who can think critically, who can analyze, who can be strategic. All of those things, and those are the soft skills, if you will. I think that what Southern does well is it combines the soft skills with the hard skills. And how we do that is we are providing a strong liberal arts core that teaches students how to communicate, how to write, how to interact. And at the same time, we're making sure that within their major, they are receiving a series of educational opportunities and experiences, hands-on experiences, through internships and through other partnerships that we have with other businesses and agencies, so that students are getting their hands dirty. I keep telling employers all the time, you want a Southern student, because we've taught them how to learn when you're ready to train them to do something else. But more importantly, as soon as they walk in your office, they're going to roll up their sleeves. They're not going to be pretentious. And they're not afraid to get their hands dirty. And that's because they already work. They're putting themselves through school.
Right.
They know what it's like to work for a dollar. They don't take their education for granted. With 94% of the students that go to Connecticut are from the state of Connecticut. But more importantly than that, 85% of our students that graduate from the state of Connecticut stay in Connecticut. And so, with no disrespect to all of the other wonderful institutions, we're educating the future employees and employers of New Haven and of the state of Connecticut. And I think that's extremely important.
One Castillo with you. I'm speaking with Joe Bertolino, president of Southern Connecticut State University. We've been talking about the university and also about his life and his perspective on education. Entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Big thing today.
It is.
And I think that young people have watched how folks are not going the traditional routes, right?
That's right.
How are you focusing on that?
I think in multiple ways.
Yes.
First, through our School of Business, which, by the way, has become extremely popular. We're preparing to build a new school of business.
Yes.
Because we don't have enough room.
Right.
And we have an advisory board, which consists of business and corporate leaders from all over the state of Connecticut and New England, not all are alums, who come back to us and advise us on what direction we should be going, what our curriculum should look like, and where we need to place students and prepare them for innovation and entrepreneurial opportunities. In fact, as some of you know, Tony Rosigno, Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Well, he is retiring very shortly, and we didn't skip a beat. The dean of the School of Business, Ellen Dernan, and I immediately ran over there and said, retire at Southern. Come to Southern. Be part of our business school. You have all these contacts. You can help connect our students. So he will be our first ever faculty member in residence, business executive in residence, if you will, at the university. So we're really excited.
Let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. As an administrator, you know, you got your hands in all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different things. Can you think of something that has made you realize that this is really what you've always wanted to do? And it brings you the great joy. What is there any particular incident or situation that you could think of that made you realize, hey, this is it. This is why I came here to do this.
Yes. It's interesting. I taught high school, as you know.
Right.
And I was 22 years old. My students were 17 and 18. I was just invited back to their 30th class reunion. I'm still in touch with a lot of those young people.
That's awesome.
And I think those relationships and all of the relationships with students throughout the course of my entire career is what has driven me. I teach a Fundamentals of Leadership class.
Okay.
I've been doing it every spring.
You're still in there.
I'm still in there. And I'll give you my whole class. I'm going to sum it up right now. Leadership is all about relationships, yes. Period. The relationships you have, the relationships you form, the relationships that you need to let go of, the difficult relationships you need to navigate. It's all about relationships at the end of the day. We are in the business of students, and we are in the business of building relationships with students and teaching them how to build relationships with others so that they can go back into their community and serve.
Good relationships. People that like you will look out for you.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
when I first came to Southern, folks said to me, I had said to them, I'm going to visit every academic department here at the university. They thought I was out of my mind. Joe, there are 40-something places. There's no way you're going to do this. I said, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it in the first semester. And I did. I stopped at every single one of – I went to all 40 meetings. I met with virtually every faculty member at the university.
You still must be doing it because it's been so hard for me to get you in here.
Well, I did appreciate This is true. I did manage to do it by January of my first year. And I had faculty members who said to me, I have been here for 28 years, and this is the first time the president has ever walked into this space.
Good for you.
And that, no disrespect to the people who came before me, but building those relationships and being accessible and visible serves you well when the chips are down. The budget in this state is not particularly good right now.
No.
And all of those relationships that I have spent the last 18 months building, I'm now able to go to the table and say, we have a relationship. We have a challenge in front of us. I need your help.
Yeah.
How do we do this? Well, Joe, you know what? we know you. We've had a conversation. And so to get back to your original question, while all of these were, there must have been at my inauguration 60 students from every single institution that I have ever worked at in the last 30 years who attended my inauguration. But one of my students, and people, you know, don't really know this, was a young man who, from a few schools ago, was a teenager, didn't have a place to be or a place to go, and I hired him to do some training because he was working in exercise science, and, well, you know, I could have used a little exercise. And I'd say, you know, where are you sleeping? Where are you living? Do you have money for food? What's going on in your life? And so one day I heard him, a young woman asked him, well, who's this guy that you keep talking to? Well, he's a vice president here at the school. And then he said, well, actually, he's my adopted dad. And so my partner and I sat with Joel one evening at dinner and said, did you mean that? And he said, yes. And I said, well, then let's be a family.
Wow.
So Joel is now my son. He just turned 30. He's married and has two small children of his own who are our grandsons now.
That's great.
And that's a part of my life I never expected to have.
Right.
And there is story after story about the impact that not only that I can have in students' lives, but let's be honest, Joel has had an amazing impact on my life.
Yes.
It's brought me great joy.
It's the back and forth.
That's right. And so that's the driving force at the end of the day.
So, where do you go from here, man?
We have a lot. I think Southern's a great place. I'm finishing up my third semester.
Right.
Some days it feels like I've been here for a while.
A lot of growth.
It's an exciting time.
Right?
It's an exciting time. I think for Southern. I mean, there are enrollment challenges because of the 18 to 24 year old population in this state is declining, but the opportunities I think are really in transfer students and graduate students and adult education and partnerships. Where do we go from here? I think there are two areas in particular that I'm focused on. The first is I think partnerships. We have a responsibility to the city of New Haven and to Southern Connecticut. I do not want Southern to be just a place that's over there on the other side of the tracks in the Yale community maybe you go to school there. Or given the population shift and the demographic shift, I think we have a responsibility to grow our what is a diverse population to be even more diverse. I anticipate that within the next decade, we will be probably less than that, a Hispanic serving institution and a minority serving institution, which means our population rate will be 50% plus students of color. We have a responsibility to reach out to the surrounding community and to tell the children and families of this community who don't talk about college or think that it's not attainable that yes, it is. And between Gateway and Housatonic and Southern, we will help to make that happen for you because that is our moral obligation to ensuring the success of this community.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because there are still many families that have not had a graduate from college.
That's
in
right.
Their family
That's
history.
Right.
Today.
That's right. And so we have a responsibility to make that happen.
Yeah.
That is not, and I take that role very seriously. We are in and of the community. We're not an ivory tower on a hill. That's not who we are, and that's not who we should be. And I think we should be proud of the fact that we are a working class institution that serves a particular population. I'm proud of that. And I think moving forward, beyond those partnerships, I think we're going to look at where the jobs are. And they are in health and health sciences. We are seeing a huge increase in the number of individuals who want to be nurses and social workers. We can't keep up with the demand. We're seeing a huge increase, and so we're building a whole new school of health and human services. Again, as I mentioned, business continues to be top-notch for us, and we educate more teachers in this state than any other institution. And Connecticut Teacher of the Year, Guidance Counselor of the Year, Superintendent of the Year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the National Teacher of the Year, all Southern alums.
Wow.
Lot to be proud of.
Yeah.
Lot to be proud of.
Joe Bertolino, I want to thank you for coming, man.
Thank you for having me. Well, please tell your I'll tell your audience, please come visit us. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised by what you see. Yeah. And for those of you who are interested in partnering with us, give me a call.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Juan Castillo, which it has been the Electric Drum. I know you've been inspired. I know I have. And we will see you next week right here on the Rhythm of the City, 94.3 WIBC.